Tonight's God's word comes from Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, verses 1 through 6. This is the Message translation, and this is a classic example of how the Old Testament ties into the New Testament. Who believes what we've heard and seen? Who would have thought God's saving power would look like this? The servant grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him. Our sins. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we got healed. We're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way, and God has piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him, on him. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. One more time, we need you to fill up our words with your word, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A few weeks earlier in Lent, we looked at this passage in a different translation as we thought about Jesus as a man of sorrows, well acquainted with suffering. And we realized and remembered and reminded ourselves that when we're in those valleys, in those hard times, we do not walk them alone. That Jesus walks with us, sometimes holding us, sometimes doing his best work in us. Tonight I want to look at this passage again. It is such a perfect passage for Lent because hundreds of years before Jesus walked on the earth, Isaiah preaches the gospel to us. He tells us about this man who grew up in God's sight, this suffering servant. No beauty, no majesty, nothing that would draw us to him, an ordinary man, well acquainted with sorrow and suffering. And the world looked on him, we looked on him and considered him smitten by God and afflicted. Punished, if you will, for who he was and what he had done. Totally unaware that he was pierced for our transgressions. That the punishment that brought us peace with God was laid upon him. And by his wounds, by his stripes, we are healed. And then Isaiah reminds us that all of us, like sheep, have gone our own way, each of us. And yet God has laid on him, on Jesus, on the suffering servant, the iniquity, the sin, the brokenness, the fallenness of us all. That's a familiar message to probably most of you. That Jesus came walking through this life almost incognito, with no prestige, no recognition, probably homeless. He preached for 3 years and he wound up on a cross, abandoned by almost all his disciples, who thought they'd lost, who thought they'd given up everything for nothing. and he gave his life. But the crucifixion was not a defeat. It was not Satan winning. It was not the end to some political campaign that his disciples hoped that he might be ushering in to break Rome's hold on the Jewish people. No, his crucifixion was God's plan from the very beginning. Jesus is called the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. Before Adam and Eve even fell, before sin broke its way into creation, God already had a plan how he was going to reconcile his people back to him. It's one of the things that I love most about Lent. This quiet time of reflection, of introspection, of letting God deal with us, of confession, of silence, of sometimes sacrifice as we give up something that distracts us from seeing God's love. But the most powerful thing about Lent to me is it takes us right back where we belong, to the foot of the cross. Because here's the very sad reality. Sometimes these verses are so familiar to us. Sometimes this story of God's grace, this good news of Jesus Christ, is so familiar to us that it gets lost in our everyday living. That we just live our lives forgetting what it is that God has done for us. And we would never confess that, because we would say we are always aware that we were bought with a price. And we would probably fight tooth and nail with anyone who tried to tell us that there's some other way to get into heaven, some other way to find eternal life than through Jesus. But the reality of it is, a lot of the time, what we believe in our head, what we believe in our heart, does not come through in our lives. The reality of it is, a lot of times we live our lives as if we're saved by works. We live our lives as if we've done enough good stuff, why wouldn't God love us? We look at the broken world around us and we go, whoa, I'm not like that, thank God. We find ourselves somehow transformed from broken sinners saved by God's grace to self-righteous Pharisees, and we didn't even see it happening. We didn't even notice when we started paying attention to the letter of the law and not the Spirit. We didn't even notice when we drafted our own lists of do's and don'ts, our own list of what good Christians do, and then began to check them off for the people around us so we could make ourselves feel better. We didn't even notice when we thought somehow that just showing up at church on Sunday or on Thursday and maybe saying a prayer here and there and reading a couple verses of scripture and maybe teaching Sunday school or volunteering at the food pantry or whatever else it is that we did, we never even noticed how somehow we started feeling justified by what we did. When we started looking at our lives of plenty, of abundance, and somehow started thinking that we had made some big sacrifice for God, that he would rush to welcome us into his kingdom. And thank God we weren't like all those other people who didn't do the good things we do. We didn't notice when that happened to us. We didn't notice when we lived our every day losing sight of our own brokenness. Sometimes we use the scene of the crucifixion when we think about the broken body of Jesus Christ, when we think about the anguish that he suffered, and we use it somehow as a way to guilt people into the kingdom of God, to make people feel so bad that they don't know what else to do. The reality of the gospel is this: that God loves his children so much. God loves you and me so much that he was willing to go to whatever lengths he had to go to get us back. Not just to give us some sort of get out of hell free card that we could take with security, tuck it in our Bible, and then just keep living life however we felt like living it. God, the Son, fleshed out for us in Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, stepped down from glory, took on that human flesh, walked on this earth, suffered, died, rose again from the dead for one reason, or two reasons, to defeat the power of hell and the power of the grave. And to invite us back into a relationship with God. In Jesus Christ, we see the only way that sinful, broken people get to be friends of a holy God. By God himself doing what we could never do. Not because he intended for us to feel bad and ashamed, but because he longed, and it's mind-blowing to think that God longed for us to be in friendship with him. He longed for us to know him as he knows us. He longed for us to be in his presence, to spend time with him, to worship him, to soak him in, to invite him into our lives. He did not come so we could live nice, polite church lives, knowing that someday in the by and by, we'll get to heaven. Came so that he might live his resurrection life in us. He came that we might be disciples, followers of him. He came to turn us upside down, to give us a whole new meaning of life, to usher in the kingdom of God, to show us that what we spend so much time on earth working for, longing for, spending our time on is meaningless comparing to the great riches of knowing God. He doesn't want people to come to church on Sunday alone. He doesn't want us to give him a couple minutes of our day. He wants to live his life in us. He's willing to pay any price, the price of the life of his son, to make that happen. And somehow we take that good news in our everyday crazy Facebook, Twitter, 24 hours of news world, and we let it slip away from us. We let it fall behind us. We forget the wonder. Sometimes when I find I'm dry and I'm struggling and faith is a challenge and I'm just kind of going through the motions, I realize I've forgotten what it is that God has done for me. I've forgotten the depth of his love for me. Because the reality of it is, we spent time this evening worshiping this God who is glorious and beautiful. This God who beings, angels, who would take our breath away, veil their faces in his presence because he's too glorious to look at. This God stepped into human flesh. This is the God that Isaiah says he had no beauty. There was nothing about him that we would even notice him. The very creator became the creation. The one who spoke the word and the waters of creation came into being, thirsted. The one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills had no place to call his own to lay his head. Because he loves us. Because he wants us because he longs to be in a life-changing relationship with us. When I think about that, when I think about Jesus in the garden, sweating blood, pleading with his Abba that if there is any other way to take this cup away from him, and God the Father doesn't, I am brought to my knees by every self-righteous bone in my body. I fall on my face at the thought of every Pharisaical thought that crosses my mind. Because every one of us, whether we've been down to the pit of hell in our lives or lived what looks on the surface like a good life, every one of us stands in the same place. Because the ground at the foot of the cross is absolutely level. All of us stand in desperate need of the grace that we find there in the broken body and the poured out blood of Jesus Christ. And the good news is that grace is readily available to those of us who have never heard the message before, to those of us who've walked through Lent year and year and year again and have known Jesus and walked with him for a very long time. The opportunity to take a pause in Lent, to kneel once again at the foot of the cross, to let God one more time break open our hearts with the depth of his love, to have a chance one more time to cry out our need to him, to invite him in a new and transforming way into our lives, to offer our lives once again to him. It's ours in Lent. That's what we have the opportunity to do. We have the opportunity to do it every day. But I'm so thankful for this season that points us right to the cross. So let's do just that. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we do not have words in our vocabulary to thank you for your love for us. We just sang a little bit ago, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall. And you thought of us. We're overwhelmed that you, the God of creation, would do that for us. And God, we're so sorry that so often we're Pharisees. We so often look at ourselves as if we're better than anybody else. God, tonight we need you just to strip every self-righteous thought away from us. Every thought that keeps us from being aware of how desperately we need your love and your grace. Thank you for your cross. Thank you for this love and this life that you've poured out in us. And God, this night, this Thursday in Lent, we would love for you to come bursting into our lives in a way you never have before. God, help us to open the doors of our life wide to you, to be ready for you to turn things upside down for us. For us to be ready for you to bring us back to our first love. God, fill us with joy. Fill us with passion. Fill us with a desire to follow you, God, not just once or twice a week Christians, but people who are ready to be the hands and the feet of you, Jesus, in this broken world. People who are willing to hold nothing back from you, to see you move in your resurrection power in our lives, making these ordinary, mundane lives extraordinary because you live in us. God, glorify yourself in us. Thank you for your love. We praise you, invite you in Jesus' name. Amen.